one of the things that I had to change was just like the expectation that like, hey, you're not going to get permission in the way that you think you are from any outside source. You have to give it to yourself.
This is Finding the Throughline, the show that gives you inside access to honest conversations about the creative process. I'm Kate Hanley.
Welcome back to the Finding the Throughline interview with Netta Samarotondo. If this is the first you're hearing of Netta, go back 2 episodes ago and hear her full bio, and then keep listening to find out the practical things that help Netta do her work, as well as the inner stuff we covered in the most recent episode, including a breakdown of her astrology that I, for one, found fascinating. Today, we're going to find out what's currently brewing for Netta and what she knows at this moment about where her personal throughline is leading her next. So, Netta, what kinds of things are currently perking up your ears? You know, just all of a sudden, you're finding a bunch of stuff. Either you're getting served a bunch of ads, or you're just drawn to reading a certain kind of article on a particular subject.
Yeah, I love when that happens. And that happens to me so often, I can barely keep up. So I'm working on my second memoir that's more about my paternal side. And so the way I want to do this one, whereas the first one kind of had that theme of water, thinking about it in terms of the theme of sort of like the like earthquakes and what historical earthquakes have been and what they've done. But I'm taking a look at it in terms of, okay, because this was like a metaphorical earthquake in my life, right? Having like my father back in my life, but comparing it to places I visited, which when I was in Jordan in 2021, getting to see him for the first time, we went to Petra, and how that entire civilization, there was like evidence of these huge earthquakes that like people couldn't like rebuild after that. So like archaeology, how we find this evidence, like what it looks like and what it means, is super interesting. Like the physical layers of soil, like they have these like different colored soils. And we also have that here in New England, specifically in Martha's Vineyard in Aquinnah. There's like all these layers of soil. So it's just interesting to me because I want to compare the folklore that we have around Petra versus the stories, the creation stories that are around that land in Aquinnah too. So there's like a lot of like intersections there. So yeah, I love to geek out about physical geological formations and how we're in like a particularly apparently active earthquake mode right now, more than we have been in recent history. There's like volcanoes waking up that haven't been awake in a while. So just how the physical earth is changing almost simultaneously to how like as a collective, we're waking up to all of these new issues and old issues, but we're like waking up and rising and also changing. So those intersections are fascinating.
Oh my gosh. I'm riveted. I cannot wait to read this book.
Thank you so much.
I know that I'm going to have to be patient, and that's fine. You take all the time you need, Netta. But I'm just like, wow, this sounds really cool. Who are your creative role models?
Oh, I don't have one, or I have a bunch. So like, I really look up to like young people who just are super creative in terms of what materials they use, whether it's like they are performance artists or like visual artists, and just using materials in new and different ways. My like all-time favorite writers that I like grew up loving was, of course, Toni Morrison, Octavia Butler. Just, yeah, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I really love Neil Gaiman because I just like fairy tales and those kind of like remixes and takes on like old stories like that. I always take it back to that, like the root of basically everything for me is like how storytelling is like so stored in our brain. Like that's how we communicate and that's how we've evolved, is around storytelling. And I try to find those root stories that are like have been retold like a trillion times, but there's just something in them that just keeps them like us coming back to. So I'd like to explore folk tales and fairy tales from like various parts of the world. That's super fascinating to me. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Basically, the work of all these different kinds of like writers that have, they like intersect with like the natural world. I can just like deep dive into like the history of turtle migration, like, you know, just whatever, something like that. It's just like super interesting to me.
What about models or people you look to for inspiration in terms of living a great life?
Yeah, I think this is where my Aries-ness comes in, because it's like, I've been asked that similar questions about role models like that most of my life. And like, I can honestly say, like, there's people I admire and I like look to their work and I love their work. But in terms of like modeling my life, I just like really like to blaze my own trail. I like to do my own thing, and I might collect bits and pieces, but it was more sort of a feeling or an energy or a vibe. I'm like, all right, I want to incorporate that energy, or I want to incorporate that vibe, and I want it to feel like that for me. But in terms of like looking up to one singular, like, or a couple like people, like, I'm not into that. And I was never really into that. I like kind of just like doing it my own way.
Totally fair. What glimmers do you currently have of where your through line might be guiding you next?
Yeah, I'm like, goodness, so many glimmers. So like, if you were to look at my desktop, there's like, I'm so proud of myself that I like recently organized like fiction from nonfiction and like all the various sort of like projects. But I'm super into the history, like early African-American history in Rhode Island. So, and how I came, but like specifically, like how it intersects with my life, because there was always, for example, this little piece of land that I was drawn to as like a 13-year-old in Johnston. And it turned out, and because it's kind of across the street where they built the bike path there now, but it's like a old waterfall and it's like an old mill kind of thing. And then I come to do some research and realize that it was actually an old African-American mill village that just, when you check the census, when you compare the population numbers, it was like really high. And then all of a sudden started to fall off after the Civil War. And then I started to see this pattern, and this research has taken me years, right? Cause I'll have little glimmers and I'll get distracted and there's other glimmers that come back. But like, I've discovered that like, this was actually a pattern all through Rhode Island. So there was a community like this in Bristol called New Goray. The one in Johnston is called Caesarville. There was one in Warwick. So yeah, they were, Little Compton was another one. Places where demographically does not make sense right now. So you're like, what happened to drive these folks of color out? And there's many answers to this, right? But it was a systematic thing, of course. And that's a big glimmer right now, is because there are things that, even though the records, the written records might be scant and we're like grasping at straws and looking at census records and things that might be hidden, there are things in the land that are still coming through and speaking to me, whether it's the actual like formation of the water or like the names we still use to describe that land or what it physically looks like now. So yeah, I'm always on the lookout for those like hidden stories.
So fascinating. Are there changes that either you already know that you're already making, or that you are aware that you, maybe it's definitely time to start making them, or even just things that you can sort of are starting to sense that you need to shift?
I think the biggest thing that I've recently understood that I had to shift is like, just like doubting myself just really needs to stop. Yeah, just like outside validation is never good. Like, whether or not it comes or is enough or whatever is not going to ever take away or change whether or not I have it for myself. So it's one of those kind of things. And I think that's totally normal and natural and human to like need and want like external validation at different points. But I think that was one of the things that I had to change, was just like the expectation that like, hey, you're not going to get permission in the way that you think you are from any outside source. You have to give it to yourself. And like, that's, that's come with time for sure.
That's so cool.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Netta, what's your just grooviest idea of what the future holds for you personally? Like, what would just delight you if it came to pass?
Besides a free Palestine?
It's all on the table.
I want to be able to travel to, like, my homeland with my family. I want to be able to eat fresh olives and press olive oil with my, like, neighbors. I want to be able to, like, grow za'atar and, like, lemons and all these things that are just, like, my ancestral foods. I want to literally just, like, lay face up in, like, my Mediterranean shores that I never got to do that, and just kind of, like, weep into the soil that I never got to, you know, all of those just, you know, regular Palestinian vibes. But yeah, I definitely am excited for my writing and my creative work to continue to put me in, like, to help me cross paths with people on a similar wavelength, right? Similar frequency, mm-hmm. who want to just, like, explore the world and create cool art together, and all for the sort of, like, betterment of the collective, the raising the vibrations of the collective, and to give people sort of creative ways of looking at how to solve different problems or, like, re-see the world, and so that we can build it in better ways.
Oh, that's a beautiful vision on both counts. Okay, it's time to shift into our final five questions. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. You could choose one or share both. What's the last book or show that you stayed up too late reading or watching because it was just good?
So Angeline Boleyn, I think that's how you pronounce her name. So she's an Indigenous author, and she did Firekeeper's Daughter.
Oh, yeah.
That was her first one, and so, which I stayed up too late having to finish that. But the second one, I was all similarly, like, just super into. And I can't think of the name.
Oh, I'll find it and put it in the show notes.
Yeah, so her work is incredible. It's, like, supposedly, technically, like, YA, and I don't know if it's just me, but I, like, they say that sometimes, the YA, but I find it to be, like yeah, there's just as interesting for me. So whatever, it's all good. I love my, like, a good, like, friend heist story. Yeah.
Nice. And what is your morning beverage of choice? I
matcha.
Want specifics. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Tell me. Oat milk. Yeah. Oat milk matcha.
Okay. Awesome. And do you make it or do you go get it?
Okay. So, like, weekdays I do make it. Mm-hmm. But on Saturday, that's how I treat myself, is like someone else is going to make it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I have two follow-up questions. One, when you make it at home, how do you not get clumps?
I do still get clumps, but
okay.
I have a whisk, and depending on how late I am for work, that's how many clumps I get.
Got it. And I guess this isn't a question. This is more of a sharing, because to me, a matcha latte, I don't like coffee. Personally, I just don't like the taste of it. I got no judgments against coffee. It just, to me, it doesn't taste good. So my special treat is a matcha latte.
Nice.
But I have discovered that it's very easy to just get, like, kind of a green mustache. You've got to be careful with the matcha latte. So do you have, like, any strategies around that?
No. I'll just walk around with the green mustache, I guess.
I think you have to maybe just think about who you're going to have your matcha latte with so they can tell you if you have a green mustache.
I mean, most of the time I want it to be on my face and, like, be off-putting so people stay away from me, because it means I'm writing and I don't want people to talk to me.
Don't talk to me. I love it. What song or type of music do you listen to when you need a pick-me-up?
Oh, yeah. This happened to me the other day, and I was like, I just feel so blah. What do I do? City Girls or, like, Cardi B, Bia, like, all those, like, female rap artists, like, that's the 5 minutes of that, I'm good.
It's like magic. And what is your favorite time? So it could be time of day, could be a day of the week, could be a month. Where would you be if you could be, like, we could place you in the calendar at any moment?
Oh, that's a good one. I love Sunday mornings. Mm. Yeah, I love Sunday mornings. So my husband plays soccer early Sunday morning, and it's like my one day where it's just like one morning, right? Where it's like very kind of like lazy, but also like I'm the only, I don't know. I just feel like it's usually my time. I make pancakes or waffles for the kids, but because I'm the only parent, I don't know. It's just like me and them. It just feels like fun. I have like my little routine. I put like a playlist on and I just like will make them breakfast. And I just feel like, yeah, it's just like me and them time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, honestly, I try to find some little nugget like that in every day so that I'm not ever in a moment where I'm just like, oh, this feels like it's dragging too much or too long. So sometimes if it's not coming on its own, I try to make it. But that is sort of like a fun moment. It's just knowing like, oh, Sunday morning, I could just like lazily cook and just hang out with my kids.
Nice. We won't tell your husband that your favorite time is when he's not home.
he doesn't care. Mainly it's because we have this competition. It's not a competition, but it's like, and I'm sure all like partnered people feel this way, right? Where it's like that one part of the counter that you need to get into or that one cupboard, right? And they're always in the way. I think that's really what it is. I get to move in freedom in the whole kitchen and there's nobody blocking the drawer.
Hashtag marriage. Yes, yeah. I totally get it. Okay. And last question. What meal would you ask for if someone said they would either make or order you absolutely anything that you want?
Yeah, there's this Palestinian dish that is my favorite. It's super simple, but it's my favorite. And it's called mlouchiyeh. And it's these greens, these like mallow greens, and they have kind of like a texture like okra or like it's like a cross between like spinach and okra. And mm-hmm. it's cooked in a broth. And there's all these variations of like what you put in the broth. You don't have to put anything, or you can put some kind of chicken or lamb. And it's just so simple. You can eat it with rice or you can just have it with pita bread. But that is like my absolute favorite food because it's like lemony and tangy and you can put like kind of like a garlic thing on it. And it's amazing.
Oh, it sounds great. You're going to have to send me a recipe so I can put it in the show notes.
Okay, I will.
All right, fantastic. And then where would people go if they want to connect with you? Or is there anything you have going on that you want them to know about?
Yeah, so I just came off of a super busy month of readings for folks that are local. But it's I think easiest way to follow me is my public Instagram is Netta Sami Writes. That's where I post all my like upcoming readings, events, interviews, and things like that. I also have a blog and it's on WordPress and it's basically just if you Google Now Approaching Providence, I've had it for a long time. I've like repurposed it so it's a whole website and the blog is like part of the website, but there is a section on there for folks to contact me. It's a Google form. And that is sort of like, you know, for folks, if they want me for any sort of like speaking event, workshop, reading, that's a good way to reach out as well.
Very cool. Well, I'll also include a link to that in the show notes, which you can find at katehanley.substack.com. And Netta, thank you for being here today. I just love talking to you.
Oh, thank you so much. This was lovely.
Finding the Throughline airs one interview per week, broken up into three episodes that come out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free. Skip the ads and get each interview in one longer episode by becoming a paid subscriber at katehanley.substack.com. Even if you aren't ready to get out your wallet just yet, become a free subscriber at katehanley.substack.com and receive the full show notes with links to everything my guests and I cover. However you listen, thank you. Finding the Throughline is edited by Sound Advice Strategies. Connect with me on Instagram at Kate Hanley Author. and come back next Monday when I'm having a conversation about the creative process with an entirely new person. Until then, wishing you a great weekend.